feet and daylight unto my path. And a light unto, a light unto my path, my path.
Welcome to Searchlight, a survey through Scripture with Pastor John Corson. It is our desire to bring you a systematic study of the entire Bible, chapter by chapter, book by book. Here on Searchlight, we are looking at a wonderful picture of redemption. It is the book of Ruth, which illustrates the faithfulness and plan of God in buying us back from the enemy. On our last program, we began looking at this story and were introduced to Naomi and her family. They were from Bethlehem, Judah, but left because of a famine, and they ended up in Moab, a worldly place. As you can guess, this is not a good move. To explain to us the repercussions of this bad move, here now is Pastor John.
Here, God's people, here, this man, Elimelech, as we shall see, his wife, Naomi, their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, they make their way to Moab that day because, hey, they got to be practical, don't they? There's bread, there's hunger in their tummies. They need bread, they need satisfaction, see? So off they go. It's a sad, sad story. The name of the man was Elimelech, which means God is my king, or God is king. Eli Lemek, God is king. And the name of his wife was Naomi, which means pleasant. And his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, they came into the country of Moab, and they continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. That's what always happens. God is king, dies. When I go off into Moab, when we wander away to satisfy our flesh and leave the house of bread, the place of praise, we leave the country that we've been called to be a part of. That is the church, the community, God's people, the family. When I wander off, when I veer away, something happens. Oh, the relationship I have with God, it begins to die. It diminishes. And Elimelech died literally. And she, Naomi, was left with her two sons. Well, they took them, verse 4, wives of the women of Moab. Our journeys, folks, affect our families. These guys end up with pagan wives. Why? Because dad and mom decided to, well, not go to church. That is, not be a part of Bethlehem, Judah. Not make the kingdom the priority of their family. But rather, they're off in Moab, you see. They're doing the Moabite thing. And now, the dad is dead. The two boys, they take on pagan wives. Keep this in mind, mom and dad. Once again, a vivid visual reminder to me and to you that our journeys affect our families. And there are men that have stopped coming to Bible study and don't go to prayer times anymore and don't have time for family devotions and don't seek the Lord like they once did personally. It will affect their families. This is the thing. If you say, well, I don't need to worry about that at this point in my life. I know the Bible, or I know I'm going to heaven. I don't need to maintain and expand a spiritual devotional life personally. Well, maybe you think that, but what about your kids and family? What you do, what I do, will have direct repercussions on how our kids choose to go and who they become ultimately. And these guys took on pagan wives because dad and mom wandered off into Moab where they ought not have been. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. They dwelt there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. The woman was left of her two sons and her husband. My goodness, what a sad story. All the men that mattered to her, her husband and her two sons, are dead because, well, they went away into Moab that day. And now she's alone with her two daughters-in-law. And she arose, verse 6, with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Interesting. She heard. After 10 years of misery in Moab, her husband dead, her two boys gone, died too, you see. She hears, hey, there's bread in Bethlehem. Oh, no doubt she must have thought, that's where I should have been. That's where I ought to have stayed, in the place of praise, Judah, in the house of bread. But I wandered away for these 10 years, and now my family's dead. But she says here, but she arose that she might return. And she came to that point like we talked about Sunday where she said, this is it. Gonna quit. I gotta split because Moab don't fit. I'm going back to where I belong. And it's never too late to do that for you, for me, for us. For people like us to say, I'm tired of swirling in the toilet bowl of Moab. I'm tired of just this sewer that I'm in. I'm going to rise up. I'm going to go back to my country, back to my people, back to where I'm supposed to be. I'm tired of prioritizing my career. I'm tired of living for the material. I'm tired of getting involved in this compromise and that thing. I need to get back to where I know that praise ascends and where bread is enjoyed. To the table of the Lord, to the word of God. That's what I need to do. So she arose. It's never too late. It's never too late. I don't care if you've been gone for 10 years or 10 weeks or 10 months or whatever it might be. Hey, she came to her senses that day and she said, it's time for us to go. I'm going to go. This is it. Going to split. Moab don't fit. I'm sick of this stuff. I'm going back to where I belong. So it says, she went forth out of her place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law went with her. This is a great thing. Her two daughters-in-law look at their mother-in-law and say, we're going to go with you. If you're leaving this wash bowl, if you're leaving this toilet bowl, we want to go too. We want to go with you. So they went on their way to return to the land of Judah. The fellowship of suffering we see is these three women. Not having a lot in common, certainly religiously or ethnically, but they are bound by the common thread of the fellowship of suffering. They've all lost their men. Naomi lost her husband. These two, Orpah and Ruth, lost their husbands as well. And there's a commonness that we talked about again on Sunday, the fellowship of suffering, where the people that you really are closest to are the ones that you've cried with. The ones that have a tenderness towards you, a sensitivity toward me because of what they've been through. Again, I don't care if a person took a psych class and read a psych book. That doesn't qualify them to be a counselor. What qualifies a person to be a minister is one who's been through some stuff, some setbacks, some sin, some sadness, some sorrow, some difficulty. They come out in a whole different way. And these three ladies had the common thread of the fellowship of suffering binding them together. They had all been there. And now they make their way down the road, leaving Moab, headed towards Bethlehem, Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead, my sons, and with me. And the Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice, and they wept. They said, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. Naomi said, verse 11, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? In other words, do you think I can still have babies that would then grow up to be able to be your husbands? Like Deuteronomy 25 refers to, the Levirate marriage law that we alluded to earlier. Do you think that's possible? She obviously was past bearing children. She was an old woman. She says, do you think that's going to happen? Are there any more sons in my womb that they can step in and be your husbands? Oh, no, verse 12. Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say, I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight and should also bear sons, even if I could have kids, even if I did have a husband, even if I said, it's still possible, and I had a man right now, would you, verse 13, tarry for them? You know, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you wait for them? You know, she's a Jewish mother. Would you wait? You know, there's no, you're not going to wait in that way. That's not going to happen. Even if it was possible, theoretically, where I was to have children, would you really wait all those years until they grew up to become your husbands? You know, oy vey, not going to happen, you know. Would you stay for them from having? Oh, no, my daughters. It grieves me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. That's how she views it right now. Her sadness, her sorrow. She says, obviously, God's hand is against me. Not true, Naomi. You felt the brutal, bitter repercussions of being in Moab, but God has a grand plan, a divine design. He's at work. He takes even our backslidden bummers, and he's able to make them into beautiful blessings. It's an amazing thing. It's called redemption. Only he can do that. But she at this point says, oh, God's hand is against me. They lifted up their voice and wept again, verse 14. And Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. Are you a kisser or a cleaver? That's the question. See, Orpha kisses her, but Ruth cleaves. Interesting, because some people are really into worship. The word worship in the Greek, proskenuo, to turn towards and to kiss. Oh, yes, I love coming here, you know, on Sunday nights at the believers' meeting, or coming here Friday nights during the Friday night praise session, or Tuesday nights when we gather with the kids or whatever it might be. And I just love to lift my hands, and I love to pray, good for you. Good for you. But that's not the key. It is not coming into this place or any place to get a Holy Ghost high. To say, oh, Lord, I've kissed you. I love just kissing you. I love coming in, lifting my hands. That's wonderful. But that's not the key. It's cleaving. It's called abiding. It's not coming in and kissing and then going home and watching some junky TV show. It's not kissing the Lord and then going home and yelling at your wife or not helping out your husband. See, that's not it. The Bible doesn't indicate that God is impressed with how high we jump, how high we get. He's concerned about how straight we walk. That's the real issue. See, Orpha kissed her. Oh, but Ruth clave to her. See, Ruth stayed with her. Ruth walked the walk. See, she was abiding, if you would. Orpha was you know, getting real, but Ruth clave to her. Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave to her. And she said, behold, thy sister is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. See, she kissed her mom, but then she went right back to her gods. She went right back. Ruth, your sister Orpha, she kisses me. That's fine, but she goes right back to her people, to her gods, you see. And you ought to go too. Go with her, Ruth, she says. Naomi says to her daughter-in-law. Ruth, though, says, verse 16, entreat me not to leave or return from following after thee. For where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God. Where you die, will I die. There will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death part thee and me. And when Naomi saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she stopped speaking and said, okay, and they go their way. Such an intriguing thing. And again, as a reminder, because it's important stuff, listen, right now Orpha is on her way. If they want to walk, let them walk. If they want to go, let them go. See, it doesn't mean that Orpha is necessarily a bad person. What it does mean is that she no longer is in the storyline of this novel that's being written or this drama that's being produced, this wonderful story that's being unfolded. And there are times when you have to say to people, just go ahead and go. You can't keep on saying, I've got to have you in my life. Let them go. And I talked about again on Sunday, the gift of goodbye. Pray for the gift of goodbye, that you may say to people, you are the weakest link, goodbye, and just send them on their way. You know what? Goodbye. Because far too often people are clinging to some past person or experience or relationship or whatever it might be, saying, oh, let it go. If they want to go, let them go. Friendships, relationships, whatever, let them go. If they want to walk, let them walk. Go. And Orpha went. See? And she's no longer in the story. Her name never appears again. She is no longer in this story. And there are people that God would say to you and me, they're not in your story anymore. Why don't you just let them go? Just let them go. See? They're not in your story anymore. And so Orpha goes down the road. But Ruth, hey, she is in the story in a big time way. And she is united with Naomi in ways that are inexplicable. It's a Holy Spirit kind of thing. It's a God thing. God has caused these two to be knit together. And Ruth, the Moabitess, says, I see in you, Naomi, even though you've been through brutal things and tough times and you're miserable personally, I see in you something that I want desperately. I want your God. I want your people. I want to live where you live. I want to be where you're at. In other words, the worst that God has to offer, Naomi, because you say that God's hand is against you, is better than what the world gives. The worst that God has to offer is better than what the world gives. Ruth said, I want that. Ruth, a beautiful lady. Ruth, a very special woman, looked at Naomi, her mother-in-law, and said, even though you say that you're bitter and you are, and you've lost everything and you have, I still see that what you have is more than what we do here in Moab. I want that. I want it. And that's what a lot of us would say too, you know. It's not easy being a believer always, is it? But the worst that God gives is better than what the best the world offers. See, there's no question about that. So she sees it. Ruth declares, okay, I'm going to go with you. And Naomi says, very well. So verse 19, they two went until they came to Bethlehem. It came to pass when they came to Bethlehem, all the city was moved about. And they said, is this Naomi? Is this pleasant? That's what her name means. She obviously aged greatly. Not only because 10 years passed by, but because of what she had been through. No doubt there was signs on her face. There was lines in her face. There was an appearance of sadness about her. She had aged. Is this pleasant one? And she said, don't call me pleasant or Naomi, verse 20. Call me Mara, which means bitter. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord brought me home again empty. What a phrase. I went out full. What? She thought when she went out 10 years ago, oh, I'm empty. You know, we don't have any bread. So let's leave the place of praise. Let's leave the house of bread and do what? Let's go to Moab. She thought that she was empty then. But then 10 years later, she says, you know what? I had everything back then. I didn't even know it. I didn't realize it. I had my husband. I had my two sons. I had so much and I didn't even see it because I was concentrating on what I didn't have, bread, rather than focusing on what I did have, family. See, what a story. This is huge. See, so often we're anxious about, we're concerned about what we don't have, not realizing what we do. That we really are full and blessed incredibly. And it's often not until we lose something, it's not there anymore, that we realize, man, what I had. I didn't even realize it at the time I had it until it's no longer there. The anxieties that you have today pale in comparison to the blessings that are around you right now, presently. We are so blessed. Naomi didn't realize that at the time when she left Bethlehem, Judah. And then she finds 10 years later, oh, I was so full then. I was upset about no bread. We were anxious about no food. But in reality, I had everything I needed. How foolish was I? I went out full, but the Lord has brought me, verse 21, home again empty. So don't call me Naomi, seeing that the Lord hath testified against me, the Almighty hath afflicted me. No, Naomi, you're not right here. God hasn't, if God was afflicting you for your sin, you would be toast. You would be dead. You would have no story. There would be no book of Ruth. See, that's the way it feels sometimes. Oh, God must be judging me. No. Uh-uh. How could he judge you severely enough? Do you think you've been judged? Hey, listen. If we got what we deserve, we wouldn't be sitting here tonight, not one of us. But see, what's happening here is when things are looking grimly, when things seem to be kind of blue and bummers or around me or around you, we think, oh, God's judging me. This is awful. No, not so. You wandered away, Naomi, and you're feeling some repercussions of your journey into Moab. But God isn't afflicting you. God has a grand plan for you. God is up to something big, Naomi, as you shall see. But Naomi at this time doesn't see it, just like you might not, just like I sometimes don't. Oh, wow, this is awful. This is terrible. This is brutal. No, it isn't. It's all part of a story. Wait till you see what happens. Trust me, the Lord would say. Hey, she wasn't being afflicted, because if she was being afflicted, she would be consumed. She would be dead. She would be frying in hell. See, that's the real deal. God is simply doing a work in her. She is simply feeling the repercussions of her own Moab wanderings. But God is for her. God is with her. So Naomi returned, verse 22, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. So here they are, back to Bethlehem, and the harvest is taking place. The guys are out in the field. Naomi, verse 1 of chapter 2, had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, related to Elimelech. And his name was Boaz. He's the Charlton Heston of the story, as we've talked about. He is the guy that's grand and wealthy and classic. He is a picture, a type, an illustration of our Goel, our Redeemer, our kinsman, Jesus Christ. And this guy is there at that time, and he is doing the harvesting thing in Bethlehem. Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, verse 2, "Well, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace." She said, "Go, my daughter." See, in Deuteronomy chapter 24, right around verse 18, 19, and 20, there is a passage which says during the harvest season, the poor were to be tended by this simple means. And that is, the guys that were harvesting the grain were to leave the edges and the corners of the field untouched so that the poor could go to the corners or to the edges and they could actually glean the grain. I like that. It's a good form of welfare because it's actually keeping the dignity intact of those that need help. They get to actually work, and yet it's providing for them when they have no other means of support. So the corners and the edges of the fields were to be left for the poor and the widows. So Naomi obviously informed Ruth of this law as they walked together down the road towards Bethlehem. And now Ruth, the younger gal, says to her mother-in-law, "Hey, let me go do even as the law allows me to."
This is just another example of how God provides for all people, the rich and the poor. We seem to struggle so much with trying to find an equitable way to help the poor. But God has a very simple solution. Make sure they are tended, but let the poor keep their dignity by working for it. Please be sure to join us as we continue with this wonderful story of redemption on our next program. We'll see you then.
This teaching is also available on the Searchlight website at johncorson.com. You will also find on the website Pastor John's books and other Bible study resources. Again, the address of the website is johncorson.com. That's johncorson.com.
We would like to remind you that on the Searchlight website, you can find Pastor John's teachings through the entire Bible. You can listen to the audio or watch the video of any of these teachings from the website at any time for no charge. The Searchlight website address is johncorson.com.
Searchlight is a listener-supported ministry. We appreciate your prayers and support. May the Lord richly bless you.